This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No legal switches. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, July 10th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A federal judge in New York has ruled that the Trump administration cannot change teams of lawyers as it seeks to include a citizenship question on the census.
Ross Perot, the Texas billionaire who became the most successful independent presidential candidate ever, has died at 89.
California is the first state to make young illegal immigrants eligible for Medicaid. It's for those under 25 who are considered low income.
And as the U.S. women's soccer team celebrates its World Cup with a parade in New York City, the equal pay debate continues as a backdrop.
Back in 2014 and 2015, the sponsorship grew by 50% due to the men's national team reaching the World Cup. But in 2015 and 16, it grew another 25% because of the women who won the World Cup.
Employment lawyer Jonathan Bell looks at metrics for how the men's and women's teams are paid. He's here in about 25 minutes. A federal judge in New York has rejected the Trump administration's plan to switch legal teams in the census case. The White House is trying to get around a Supreme Court ruling that blocked its plan to ask every U.S. household how many residents are citizens. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Plaintiffs, including the American Civil Liberties Union, objected to the attorney's switch, saying the government failed to justify it. The Justice Department announced on Sunday it was removing one team from the census cases and replacing it with a new one pulled together from other divisions. Attorney General William Barr said on Monday that some lawyers on the case felt uncomfortable continuing after they told courts the citizenship question would be dropped, only to be contradicted the next day on Twitter by President Trump. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. In January, Judge Jesse Furman blocked the citizenship question after finding that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross's official rationale for it to help protect minority voting rights was not credible. The ruling was upheld by the Supreme Court last month. The man who took aim at the two-party political system in Washington through his campaigns for president has died. Texas billionaire Ross Perot, who unsuccessfully ran in 1992 and in 1996, lost a battle with leukemia yesterday. He was 89. Mr. Perot, who created the company Electronic Data Systems and later sold it to General Motors for $2.5 billion, was the most successful independent candidate of all time. After selling EDS, he launched Perot Systems and eventually sold that to Dell for nearly $4 billion. In 1992, against President George H.W. Bush, his main issue was the national debt.
We have so mismanaged our country over the years, and it is now time to pay the fiddler. And if we don't, we will be spending our children's money. We've got to clean this mess up, leave this country in good shape, and pass on the American dream to them.
4 years later, against President Clinton, he highlighted trade deficits with Mexico. James Carville, chief strategist of Mr. Clinton's 1992 campaign, told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "If Trump is the Jesus of blue-collar populism, then Ross Perot was its John the Baptist." More now on Mr. Perot from Jim Antle, editor-in-chief at American Conservative. Jim, your take.
Well, Ross Perot was an early sign that there was major discontent with the two parties in Washington and the way they were doing business. And he ended up, I think he showed that there was a desire for a CEO president, somebody who could run the government like a business and who'd had some success in corporate structures and not just dealing with federal bureaucracy. And two, I think that Perot showed that a lot of issues were being neglected by the two major parties. People weren't happy with the major parties dealing with the deficit and spending and the national debt. People weren't happy with the trade policy. People weren't happy with foreign policy. People weren't happy with the level of immigration enforcement. And in some ways, in all of those areas, everything from being CEO, president, to some of the populist themes on trade, foreign policy, and immigration, Perot was a forerunner to President Trump.
Yeah. 19% of the vote as an independent, I think he got in 1992, right? Nobody's even come close to that number since. Why? How come?
Well, it's very difficult to run for president as an independent or third-party candidate. What typically ends up happening is that you spend all of your money trying to make the ballot, and then you don't really have any money for a campaign. Secondly, you tend to get treated less seriously by the mainstream media. Perot was able to break through both of those things. He was able to secure ballot access for himself in all 50 states in the District of Columbia, while still, as a billionaire, retaining the resources he needed to wage a successful campaign. Secondly, he was able to get the type of media coverage that was really close to what the two major party candidates were getting. And at one point early in the race, he was actually leading George H.W. Bush, the sitting president, and Bill Clinton in the national polls. Wow. And there was some fear that Bill Clinton might be this also-ran and that the Democrats were going to lose their access to federal matching funds. You know, obviously it didn't turn out that way, but Perot was treated as a serious candidate in a way that very few third-party candidates ever are.
We're speaking with Jim Antle. He's the editor-in-chief at American Conservative. We're remembering Ross Perot. He had a couple of great lines right in these debates. Wasn't it one where somebody remarked he was light on experience, and he said something to the effect of, "You're right, I have no experience running up $4 trillion in government debt," or something like that.
That's exactly right. No, I have no experience running up a $4 trillion debt, and you know that's obviously a very small figure compared to what the national debt is now, but it showed how out of control people thought government spending and government borrowing was getting, and Perot had a really folksy way of bringing that home. Of course, he also did the famous infomercials with his charts, and you know, it's hard to see a populist today getting really deep into the weeds of federal budget math in the way that Perot did.
He also, I guess, was an example that's still true today. You got to be rich, right, to be able to get some sort of momentum in a presidential race.
I certainly think if you're going to do it outside the two-party duopoly, that you really do have to have resources. You have to be rich. I don't think it's an accident that Howard Schultz is the former Starbucks CEO, is the main guy looking at an independent run this time around. People have talked about Michael Bloomberg. Certainly, Perot had the money in his own pocket to really have impact and to get the kind of attention that Bush and Clinton were getting, and also get the ballot access. So, you know, Trump, his innovation on all of that was in addition to having a lot of money of his own. He also was famous enough to get a lot of free media coverage.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Antle, editor-in-chief at American Conservative. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/small business.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. There's mounting pressure from leading Democrats for Labor Secretary Alex Acosta to resign. He played an active role as a U.S. attorney in Florida in securing a plea deal for politically connected sex offender Jeffrey Epstein more than a decade ago. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says if he does not resign, President Trump should fire him.
We cannot have, as one of the leading appointed officials in America, someone who has done this, plain and simple.
Mr. Acosta argues the arrangement helped pressure Mr. Epstein into pleading guilty to state charges and having to register as a sex offender. At the White House yesterday, Mr. Trump praised him as an excellent Secretary of Labor, adding, "The rest of it we'll have to look at." He now faces federal charges in New York. All of the Democratic senators who voted to confirm Mr. Acosta in 2017 and who are still in office all told NBC News he should now go. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a U.S. district judge has ruled that the Justice Department can't replace nine lawyers so late in the dispute over whether to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census without explaining why they are doing so. Judge Jesse Furman, who earlier this year ruled against adding the citizenship question, put the brakes on the government's plans a day after he was given a three-paragraph notification by the Justice Department, along with a prediction that the replacement of lawyers won't cause any disruption in this matter. Furman said the defendants provided no reasons for the substitution of counsel. A federal appeals court has ruled President Trump's practice of blocking some users on Twitter violates the free speech protections of the First Amendment. The ruling stems from a 2017 lawsuit filed by Columbia University on behalf of seven people who had been blocked by the president's account. The panel said a public official who uses a social media account for official purposes can't block users because he disagrees with their posts. H. Ross Perot rose from a childhood of Depression-era poverty to become a self-made billionaire who twice ran for president with a mixture of folksy sayings and simple solutions to the country's problems. Here's a clip from the 1992 presidential debate.
And the Congress will be listening to the people, and the American people are willing to have fair, shared sacrifice. They're not as stupid as Washington thinks they are.
Perot's 19% of the vote in 1992 stands among the best showings by an independent candidate in the last century. Perot died of leukemia yesterday at his home in Dallas, surrounded by his family. He was 89. It was the American League over the National League 4-3 in last night's All-Star game played in Cleveland. Hometown favorite Indians pitcher Shane Bieber won the MVP award.
There was so much going on, but I heard everything and really soaked it all in. And you know, I can't really thank the fans enough for creating that moment for me and making it really special.
The AL extended its winning streak in the Midsummer Classic to 7 games in a row. The AL has won 11 of 14 dating back to 2003, the year the game infamously ended in a tie.
Remember that disaster? A tie game. That almost seems like to defy logic that the American League would have won 11 of the last 14.
Yeah.
I think these things would be even after a while.
Yeah, I know. It's goofy.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday. DNA tests have opened up a new world where humans can find estranged or unknown family members, right? Some are extending the same idea now to their dogs. Just as with the human variety, canine family reunions can bring complications, though, and surprises. It's a story by Ellen Byron, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, what did you find?
I found that not only are humans using DNA tests to reconnect with long-lost or unknown family members, dogs now can do the same thing. Dog owners are testing their dog's DNA to learn more about their dog, be ready for potential health concerns that might develop, but they're also now able to connect with dogs and their families.
Oh,
are related to them.
I didn't think about the health concerns. All right, so you talked about this test maker called Embark Veterinary. How does it work?
They ask you to collect a saliva sample from your dog, which I understand is quite easy to do, and then you send in the sample. They test it. They come back with your dog's breed makeup. They test for over 170 genetic health concerns, and they, after realizing that many of their test subjects had close relatives in their system, now offer a way via a private chat function for you to connect with the family of your dog's relatives.
Oh, no way. All right. So are people eager to do this? Is that why they get the DNA test in the first place? They're looking to find a sibling?
Well, this is a relatively new feature, the relative finder. But they are usually initially drawn to testing DNA so that they can better understand what their dog makeup is.
How about the one picture that accompanied this story? It was a litter party picnic. This is like the largest gathering of big dogs I've ever seen.
Yeah, so people who are part of breeder communities will be very familiar with dog reunions, because often if you get your dog from a breeder, that breeder will help facilitate what they call litter parties.
Oh, okay.
And they want the people who adopt dogs from them to stay in touch with each other. For one thing, it's a great support group. So as you're training your puppies, you can check in and get advice and encouragement from other people who are going through the same thing with the same type of dog. But also it helps that breeder monitor the success of the breeding program to make sure that the puppies are growing up and thriving. So these breeder parties are sometimes facilitated by, you know, people who get these dogs, and the particular photo that you're talking about was a Leonberger party, and Leonberger dogs are big and beautiful, and one woman who has three of them said that they are actually like a very close, tight-knit family themselves.
I'm tongue-in-cheek looking at the picture thinking, wow, the dogs really seem to be paying attention to the photographer and obeying orders, and the owners seem to be struggling with paying attention.
The owners are all over the place. Yes. I'm sure people can relate to different human reunion photos in the same way.
Thanks, Ellen. Ellen Byron, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season, 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, July 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A judge says the Trump administration cannot switch legal teams in the census case. Former two-time presidential candidate Ross Perot has died. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta under pressure from Democrats to resign. Last Volkswagen Beetle rolls off the assembly line today. The ESPYs are tonight. Who will win best team? Toronto Raptors or the World Cup champs? And how to throw a ticker tape parade for the U.S. soccer team when nobody uses ticker tape. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. As the U.S. women's soccer team continues to bask in the glow of their second straight World Cup title, the issue of equal pay remains. They've argued that despite their renowned success, they are still being paid less than the men's team. For analysis, we're joined by employment attorney Jonathan Bell of the Bell Law Group in Garden City, New York. Jonathan, how do you see it?
Well, the way that I see it is that it's covered by the Equal Pay Act of 1963, essentially that abolished wage disparity based on sex that was signed into the law by John F. Kennedy. You can't pay differently based on sex for equal work, equal skill, effort, and similar responsibility in working conditions.
All right, so I don't know the finer points, but I'm guessing there were some metrics that measured things differently, like fans in attendance or jerseys sold, and things were based like that, because that's the only thing I can imagine that would be a factor here.
It's a very interesting issue. So what the women are claiming is that the sponsorship is essentially 50% of the operating revenue by the U.S. Soccer Federation. So the operating revenue turns out to be about $100 million. Sponsorship money is responsible for about 50% of that. Now, back in 2014 and 2015, the sponsorship grew by 50% due to the men's national team reaching the World Cup. But in 2015 and 16, it grew another 25% because of the women who won the World Cup, and that revenue continued to be consistent since then. So they're saying that the sponsorship money, which they're in part responsible for, is a huge factor in determining the gross revenue, and they don't feel like they're equally sharing in it as the men. Now, on the flip side, you have FIFA, who basically sets the award and the budget, and it's $400 million for the World Cup for men versus $30 million for the World Cup for women. Mm. So the United States Soccer Federation is basically saying, hey, FIFA is just paying us a lot more for men, and we're responsible to distribute that money. So the lawsuit essentially is saying, well, it doesn't matter what FIFA is paying. They could discriminate against women all they want, but you're a United States employer, and you have to follow the law under the Equal Pay Act and find a way to pay them equally.
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting case.
Well, all things being equal, I mean, if this were a company, I mean, the women would be due enormous bonuses in a different, in addition to deserving equal pay. I mean, all they do is deliver the goods, time and time again.
That's true. And listen, we take cases for equal pay. This is what I do for a living. We strongly believe it. 5 out of 7 attorneys that are employed by my law firm are women, so we totally recognize the value. Okay. At the same token, we got to be fair. And the approach, at least what they're saying, is it's a matter of, you got to really look at the revenue. Who's responsible for the revenue? It's a business just like anything else. Is it the men? Is the revenue more due to the men's performance in gaming, or is it the women? And that's essentially where you need to kind of look at it closely and divide it based upon that. Because really, in any business, forget about gender. Your top performers that are earning you more money, you're going to pay them better than the people who are not. So really, you have to kind of be blind to gender. So the point is that if the women are making less and maybe the revenue is not there, then maybe the United States Soccer Federation needs to advertise more and do things to increase the revenue. Because it's an amazing, we're not taking anything away from what they did. What they did is incredible, and it should be publicized very well. And like what you said, Nike has come out and stated that these soccer jerseys are selling faster than any soccer jerseys in the history of them being sold, including the men. So I do believe that there's money to be made by the women, equal pay. It's just a matter of having the attorney who they hired. They all hired a lawyer that's fighting it in district court in California. They're going to have some way to figure out and show that the revenue being brought in by the women are equal to or potentially greater than the revenue being generated by the men.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Bell, employment attorney with Bell Law Group in Garden City, New York. Sports agents and marketing experts, by the way, tell MarketWatch that now's the time for these women to explore whatever endorsement deals and speaking engagements come their way. Alex Morgan, for example, earns $45,000 playing professionally in Portland, but endorsements from Nike, McDonald's, Coke, and Panasonic bump her pay to $1 million, according to Money.com. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. There were plenty of baseball's best players on hand for the Major League All-Star game last night, but one big name that didn't make the game was Bryce Harper, having a respectable, though not All-Star-worthy first season in Philadelphia. Someone probably should have broken that news to the MLB marketing folks, who were apparently promoting the Midsummer Classic in Cleveland with banners featuring the face of Bryce Harper. And despite this being dangerously close to false advertising, USA Today points out that nowhere on the banner does it say that Harper is in fact a 2019 All-Star. And he's not even the only missing player featured in the ads. Miami Marlins pitcher Caleb Smith is also on the banners, even though injury derailed his All-Star hopes back in June.
Wow. What's going on here?
I mean, I guess they have to sort of guess who the print these things up in advance, right? So I guess they kind of have to figure out who's going to be in the game. Harper has been in the game for the past, 6-7 years or whatever, and he didn't make it this year. So
jeez.
They have to sort of assume these things, I suppose.
It's Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
With all its power and money.
Yeah.
Can't have banners printed up by contract
right.
on a specific date that would include current players.
Yes, they couldn't have a printing shop on hand,
man.
Ready to go,
yeah.
kind of a thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
be on standby, right? The game is July 9th. We're gonna need these printed precisely on the 6th when we know the rosters or something.
Yeah, yeah. This is not the only head scratching thing that the baseball
you're right.
does.
That's head scratching for sure.
And we often, Gordon, want visitors to our homes to feel comfortable, but that doesn't go for burglars. Police say one thief got super comfy after breaking into an Oregon home over the weekend, making himself a pot of coffee, eating a cupcake, and trying on a woman's Christmas onesie. The man also brought his cat named Spaghetti along as an accomplice. The alleged break-in happened in broad daylight in Gresham, about 15 miles east of Portland. The homeowners told police they returned home and noticed damage and items that didn't belong to them. They said they found Spaghetti the cat wearing a shirt in the crawl space beneath the house. When officers arrived, a 38-year-old man wearing the owner's Christmas onesie, which he had found in the dryer, also emerged from the crawl space. The man was booked in the county jail on first-degree burglary, first-degree criminal mischief, and third-degree theft.
Wow.
So he's got a long list of charges there.
There's a lot
for hanging out.
There's a lot of things going on here.
Yes.
It's July.
Right.
And there's a Christmas onesie in the dryer.
Yeah, to me, that's the number one thing.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of things going on, but what was the onesie doing in the dryer in the first place?
Right, right. You got a cat named Spaghetti.
Well, sure.
Who also... I guess chose to wear something as part of this whole incident
yes.
in Oregon.
Of course, you leave things in the dryer, they're going to get worn, Gordon, by the homeowners or whoever comes in.
The fact that this burglar wanted to just change clothes, right?
Yeah.
Strange doings.
Go
for sure.
Spaghetti.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
Thanks for spending time with us. If you're concerned about the cost of air conditioning as the temperatures heat up this summer, here are some ways to save, courtesy of MarketWatch. One, check your settings. Every degree colder you set the AC obviously will cost you, but also leaving on the circulating fan uses a lot of power. Plus, they can cause cool air to leak out of a home, which causes, of course, the system to work harder to keep the temperature low. Number two, close the blinds when direct sunlight is pouring through a window. Also, cooking on the stove inside rather than on a grill outside can drive up your cooling costs. Additionally, keep ACs in proper working order by regularly checking cleaning ducts, or rather regularly cleaning your ducts, replacing filters, and ensuring that air flows out of vents without obstruction like a couch in front. And number three, make sure you have the right size unit for your home. An undersized air conditioner could be forced to run constantly to keep the home at the desired temperature. And finally, replace old ones. They degrade in efficiency roughly 5% every year. Also, consider having your utility company perform a home inspection. They are free in most states. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
We're in a federal appeals court voiced skepticism that a central feature of the Affordable Care Act is constitutional, though it appeared to struggle with whether that meant the Obama-era health law should be struck down in its entirety. In a case that could cause millions of people to lose health coverage and have deep political implications next year, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans heard oral arguments for nearly 2 hours in a challenge to the ACA by a group of 18 Republican-led states. The case is likely to end up at the Supreme Court, which has already ruled twice to uphold the ACA. President Trump says he'll be looking very closely at Labor Secretary Alex Acosta's handling of a sex trafficking case involving now-jailed billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein. But he also seemed to stand by his cabinet official.
I feel very badly, actually, for Secretary Acosta, because I've known him as being somebody that works so hard and has done such a good job. I feel very badly about that whole situation. But we're going to be looking at that and looking at it very closely.
Trump's comments came as a parade of Democratic lawmakers demanded that Acosta, a former federal prosecutor in South Florida, resign or be fired over his role in a secret 2008 plea deal that let Epstein avoid federal prosecution after allegations he molested teenage girls. Award-winning television, film, and theater actor Rip Torn has died at the age of 88. Torn won an Emmy for his comedy bit on The Larry Sanders Show.
I gotta go.
Huge laugh.
I gotta go.
Huge rolling in the aisle left. Good. Get out of here, you big successful talk show host.
Torn made his film debut in 1956 in Tennessee Williams' Baby Doll. Other film credits include Sweet Bird of Youth, The Cincinnati Kid, and Men in Black. It's something you don't see every day in Chicago, a four-foot alligator, but one was spotted in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. Reptile expert Alligator Bob told ABC alligators like to hide.
They're predominantly submarines. They like to be in the water. They like to stay safe.
Authorities plan to set up a humane trap to catch the alligator, which was likely released by a pet owner. Once caught, it will be taken to a local zoo.
I like that. They're like submarines. They like to stay safe. No, they like to lurk underwater and surprise you when you're not looking. Stay safe.
Well, that's Alligator Bob. He likes alligators.
Apex predators. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. The U.S. women's soccer team gets a ticker tape parade today in New York City, and that raises a delicate question. How do you throw a ticker tape parade when no one uses ticker tape? You use what city officials call shredded recycled paper. The Wall Street Journal says they get the material from Kansas Paper Recycling, which is supplying 2,000 pounds for free. It's similar to the paper bedding often used for puppies in pet stores. Bales of recycled paper are shredded into half-inch wide strips of different lengths. The commissioner of New York City's Department of Sanitation says shredded paper is much better for the cleanup that follows any parade because it doesn't get caught in trees. She says her agency picked up 30 tons of shredded paper and other debris at the city's last ticker tape parade for the U.S. women after the 2015 World Cup. 30 tons, by the way, is nothing compared to the 5,000 tons collected in 1945 to celebrate the Allied defeat of Japan in World War II. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.